Hello, everyone. Welcome into a winning episode, just barely, of the Talking Blues podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Peter. Alex missing another one of these episodes, except he's given me his cold, and here I am sitting with a bad voice. But I'm still here anyway, unlike him. He's, you know, off the grid, off the map. Who knows where Alex is right now? We don't. We're all searching for answers, but none are to be found. I'm just kidding. Hopefully he'll be here next episode. We'll have to wait and see because he'll be away. Peter will be away. They're both going away to see family in different parts of the country. And I'm just sitting here at home when Chelsea plays their next match against Wolves on Sunday. So who knows? Maybe I'll be alone. Maybe I'll be with one of them. We'll have to wait and see what the deal is there, but don't worry because, you know, I'm committed to this podcast, guys. Really, the only reason I'm still going to be staying here while you're going away is because I can record the Talking Blues podcast, obviously. So I think you guys are just uncommitted at this point. But Chelsea does win in penalties 4-2 in the EFL Cup quarterfinal against Newcastle. And yeah, Peter and I are here to break down all of it. The match that occurred, interesting Chelsea win. We'll get into the bulk of everything, but I want to let Peter go first, addressing the allegations of how he's not committed to the Talking Blues podcast, see how he's doing, if he's excited for this family trip occurring in the next couple days, and obviously, you know, like the reason we're here too, his thoughts on this Chelsea performance. Peter, addressing all of those questions, I don't know which one you want to start with, but you can go whenever.
Well, that was a lot of questions. I mean, it's just an interrogation now, apparently, instead of a podcast, I guess. I don't know what we're doing here, but I'll start in saying I'm doing well. As I always say, you know, come on, Chelsea win. I'm always doing better. It's exciting, especially a win like this. We're into the semifinals, you know, that's exciting. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think winner of the Carabao Cup gets, I think it's a Europa League place. So all I'm saying is that even if we end up staying in 13th, if we can win this competition, we have a chance at Europe next season. So that's still alive. And I'll just preface that. And then secondly, allegations if I'm not committed or not. I mean, I don't know what we're doing here. I've been on like 10 straight episodes at this point. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm still going to bring my mic and then I'm going to escape from my little cousins that are also going to Indiana with me. And we're going to, and I'm going to just record a podcast. And I mean, I'll say that, but, you know, things can change. But the plan is to remain committed. I have to keep my streak of episodes going. It's been a while since I haven't been on one. So we'll see. But what was it? What even? Oh, if I was excited? Oh, I'm very excited. You know, I don't know. It's Christmas. Everyone loves Christmas, right? You get to go see family. You get presents. You know, it's exciting. And then the last thing is that it's actually a Chelsea podcast and not a talk about, listen to Peter talk about his, what he's doing and his family adventures and such and such. So, Chelsea, yes, like I said, winning in the Carabao Cup quarterfinals, you love to see that. You love to see that even if we are incapable of winning in the league for some reason, we still have success in the cup competitions. And I mean, I feel like sometimes you need that. Obviously we have a young squad, so it's not all ups and downs, but that's the beauty of a knockout competition is that anything can happen. You never really know. So we're into the semifinals now. I think, I forget what teams are left. I think it's Middlesbrough, Fulham. Oh, you have this, Josh?
Yeah, I had it pulled up actually. But you can keep going. You have it so far.
It was Middlesbrough, Fulham, and then have Liverpool played yet? Because it's Liverpool or West Ham, I'm pretty sure.
So that match is going to happen for us at 3 p.m. today. So I don't know when everyone's listening. Okay. We're recording around 12 p.m. Eastern time here on Wednesday, a day after the Chelsea match. So it's Fulham who beat Everton yesterday, also in penalties, funny enough. Middlesbrough beat Port Vale 3-0 late yesterday, and then Chelsea won 1. It was 1-1, obviously, in regular time, 4-2 in penalties. Chelsea move on. Liverpool-West Ham, the only game left that's going to be played today. The result could already be in place when you're listening. So realistically, and I'm sure Peter, you were going to go to this now, was that like Chelsea has a chance to win this competition. You know, they're very much in the running. I think, obviously the toughest match will be whoever wins that Liverpool West Ham game. But besides that, Fulham and Middlesbrough are beatable teams. You know, this season we're talking though. And for Chelsea, it seems like no teams, even the bottom of the Premier League is not winnable teams for the Blues. So I know I'm speaking a little like we're a top 10, top five squad who can win against winnable teams, but we're not, unfortunately. But I still will state some confidence that I think Chelsea has a chance to kind of squeak by and get this Carabao Cup victory. And yeah, the Europa League obviously is definitely a cherry on top if it's possible to get that. But yeah, that's what I have to say to that. Go ahead. You can continue with whatever you were talking about unless you forgot your train of thought.
Well, I was literally just going to say exactly what you were saying, is that the teams that are left in the competition, literally, I was going to say exactly what you said, where no team is beatable at this stage for Chelsea. But if there's going to be beatable teams, it would be Middlesbrough, a championship team. Fulham. Did Fulham get relegated last year? I don't even know. I think they, okay. So two championship teams. Yeah. And then West Ham and Liverpool. So I hate saying this because we're supposed to be a big team, but if we avoid
Fulham didn't get relegated. Fulham like finished well last year. Didn't Fulham finish in like top 10 standings?
Did they? I don't know. I'm not a big Fulham fan.
They finished above Chelsea last year. They finished in 10th. We're disrespecting Fulham.
Okay, or to be fair, finishing above Chelsea last year is not the hardest thing.
They're
to
also
do,
1 point behind us right now. We're in 10th at this current moment in the Premier League. They're in 11th. So
we're about the same team.
Them, thinking they got relegated.
My bad. I apologize to any Fulham fans listening. I don't know why you're listening, to be honest, but you know, fair enough for you. I apologize. But regardless, if we can avoid Liverpool or West Ham in the draw, I think we can beat Fulham or Middlesbrough, especially because the semifinal is two legs. I think that gives us an advantage against those two teams. But if we do end up against Liverpool, because I assume Liverpool is going to beat West Ham today, but you never know. Two legs against Liverpool, I don't think we're winning. But if we can scam a good draw, I think we have a possibility of winning this competition and getting Europe, which I think is very big, because we're definitely not getting it through the league. So we need to do something at least in the cup competition if we want to have a chance.
All right, so we're talking about all these holistic lens stuff. Let's stick to the game for a second and recap that a little bit. This was a dominated Newcastle United performance, in my opinion, from beginning of the opening whistle to the penalties, where I think once the penalty started, it was all Chelsea. And a big, big credit to the Chelsea penalty takers and Petrovic and net. Peter, that final save that he made was absolutely phenomenal. So I like to give credit to Petrovic. Also, seeing the first sight, which I didn't think we were going to... We're sitting here on December 20th, and that happened on December 19th, the day before today, obviously. I did not think we were going to see... excuse me, Nkunku. Cold coming in. I did not think we were going to see Nkunku before the new year of 2024. And I guess... Merry Christmas to me. We get a Christopher Nkunku coming into this EFL Cup game for his first sights at Stamford Bridge, which was very exciting, and he had a great penalty that came with that. I still stand with this, though. This Chelsea defense is in shambles. This Chelsea midfield needs to figure something out. And every time we feel like we're getting an attack going, it just fizzles out with a bad cross or a player who's unable to finish within the box, or, you know, we do get that chance and then the shot is just wide of the target. And it you know, like I just went through all three kind of slots of how it goes with defense and midfield and attacking. And I guess if I'm going to pick one, it honestly has to be defense, because, you know, we always talk about Thiago Silva, the Rolls Royce, all that. You know, he's kind of fallen off this year. Age has kind of gotten towards him, I would say, right now. And then, oh my God, this cold's killing me. Callum Wilson with the goal in the 16th minute. That wasn't a Callum Wilson goal. I mean, sure, good of him to finish past Petrovic, but oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What did I witness with that? I mean, Alex and I were talking about it. We actually were on the phone during penalties for the game. We didn't watch together in person, but we hopped on a phone call for the final penalties, and he told me that he turned the game off after that Callum Wilson goal, because it was like, same old Chelsea, this team's gonna get crushed in this game. They somehow won it, but that was one of the worst defensive performances on a play I have seen all season long. That was horrifyingly terrible by Badi Ashile. Awful, awful, awful defending. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Mistakes happen all the time. I understand that. I think Shaka Hislop mentioned that when he was asked about the goal in ESPN FC after the game. They were recapping it, and what's his name? Dan Thomas, the host, I believe, asked Shaka, what do you think of, you know, that try? And he was like, well, mistakes happen in football from time to time. And he's exactly right. But I mean, mistakes have happened all season for Chelsea in this defense. And that's just terribly horrifying to watch. It was awful. Go ahead, Peter. I'm done.
Well, I was just going to say, you're talking about Badi Ashile, but it was also, I think it was Colwell who picked it up. And then Kaseido was like right there. It was like a 10-yard pass. Like any professional footballer should be able to make that pass. And he completely overhits it right to the Newcastle player who then breaks, who then mishits the ball. And we're like, oh, okay. I mean, that's fine. Okay. So we're just going to get the ball back. We can build up from the back. And then Badi Ashile does whatever Badi Ashile does. And then, as you say, that's not a Callum Wilson goal. That's just the entire Chelsea backline deciding to just forget how to play football. And like you say, I would say the attack has been much worse than the defense, but that does encapsulate Chelsea's season, because that's just the perfect example of not other teams beating us, but us beating ourselves. We always do it, whether it's the attackers missing all the chances we create, midfielders just giving the ball away or not going into a tackle, or just getting stupid red cards, and then the defenders doing exactly that. It's just, you hate to see it. And I mean, honestly, I didn't turn the game off, but I was heading back from college during the game. So I very much so kind of put that to the wayside and started focusing on other things after that goal. Cause I literally was like, okay, they scored, same old Chelsea. We're not going to score back. I had no faith in us to score back, cause our attack has just been bad. Our attack really has just been bad. So I really just thought, I thought it was over. And I mean, it very well could have been, but luckily Newcastle make a mistake back and give Mudryk the ability to just kind of get a free shot on net from like the 6-yard box, which he thankfully scores. If he missed that, I would have like tried and just said, send him. I was going to make a bad joke. Not going to happen. I stopped myself.
But I know exactly what you were going to say too.
But yeah, luckily we get that goal, and then luckily we have Petrovic, who apparently is the best penalty saving goalkeeper I've ever seen in my life. So I mean, good for us. We got lucky, they got lucky to start, we got lucky back, and at the end of the day, Chelsea win. And I think that's all you need to care about, because it doesn't matter how you do it, especially in a competition, as long as you get the win, you move on. And that's what we did.
And yeah, I like you said, right back at it. I think it was Trippier got the poor header on the ball, which led Mudryk to the chance. So, like you said, a poor defensive errors, both in this match for both squads, leading to their teams' goal. And I think that's just kind of how like the book scripts itself, right? I mean, Chelsea and Badi Ashile has that terrible play, and then Trippier, when he's, you know, gets a head onto the ball, it goes in front of him, and Mudryk is able to capitalize on that with the goal to tie things up. And I didn't know exactly how the Carabao Cup, EFL Cup, whatever you want to say, it worked. I didn't know if it was going to be another match, if it was going to be a replay, if it was going to be extra time or penalties. That it went straight to penalties was definitely very exciting. But all the obviously way more nerve-wracking, I think, than extra time. Both would be very scary stuff, but penalties especially is the most nerve-wracking type of football you could ever see. And especially when you're playing that in like the World Cup, and we know the game I'm referencing, but we're not talking about the World Cup right now, we're talking about Chelsea. So yeah, I think we summed the game up well. It is an EFL Cup game, Peter, so I wasn't planning on doing player ratings. I can pull it up if you really wanted me to.
We could just run through them quickly, just like rapid fire, okay. Just see what I get. Yeah. No discussing, just like literally just say player name. Did I get it right? Player name, did I get it right?
All right, let's see if goal.com did one for this game. They should have. All right. Goal.com's player ratings. For anyone who's new here, Peter is going to guess it. We'll see how much he can get out of 11. For gold.com, it is whole numbers out of 10, and pretty self-explanatory. And if you don't get it, then you'll understand as we kind of go through here. So Petrovic in net first, Peter.
Obviously, with the penalty heroics, I'd say that has to be at least an 8.
It's going to be a 7 for Petrovic.
What? After all? No.
Given little chance with the goal, but had nothing to do otherwise in normal time. Kept his concentration to make the vital shootout save.
How is that? Okay, right, whatever.
Well, if you do remember, their average is a 6. So, I mean, but yeah. I mean,
the game-winning save, you got to have an 8 for that. I don't care.
Axel Disasi to start the back line.
He was one of the only ones who didn't make an insanely big error, so I'll go 6.
It is a 6 for Disasi. We're moving to Thiago Silva in the back line. So you're 1 for 2 at this moment.
I'll also go 6 because he wasn't very involved in the goal. I'll go 6.
For some reason, goal.com has him at a 7. 1 for 3. Okay. You go. They said back to something like his best. As he timed countless challenges to perfection, as the side left themselves open to the counter.
That's pretty fair. I don't know about a 7, though. I don't know about a 7.
I mean, I just talked about how Thiago Silva hasn't been the best this year, but fine.
Clearly, gold.com doesn't agree with you.
All right, Badius Shiel. Talked a lot about him this episode.
I mean, okay, outside of the mistake, he wasn't bad. But I think the mistake, you have to give him a 5 for that.
Why do you think I'm laughing, Peter?
Because they gave him a 7?
They gave him a 3.
A 3?
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy.
1 for 4, you go. This is the description. And the first two words, horrible, horrible. Error. Having initially defended so well against Wilson's driving runs, miscontrolling and bobbling the ball back into the striker's path, regaining his composure, but the damage was already done. Badius Shiel, a 3 out of 10. By gold.com. And honestly, I'm happy with that. Like, that's fair to me.
No, okay. But the thing with that is they don't give positive 3 points for an attacker scoring a goal, but they do minus 3 points for a defender giving up a goal. That's all I'm saying. There's some bias going on here.
It was all him, though. Like, literally, he was the, like, honestly, count it own goal by Badius Shiel at that point. Like,
No. Hey, go to Colwell so I can say. I'm going to give Colwell a 5 because he fucked up the pass that led to the break that happened from.
No, and you're right. And now you go 2 for 5, and Colwell gets a 5. His hospital pass led indirectly to the opener. Did get forward well, but picked up a knock and was forced off at the break. We'll be glad of VAR's absence. Yeah. Which is true, because that challenge in the first half was definitely a red.
That was bad.
That was a red card. Thank God that he did not get one, because we could be talking about not the AFL Cup semifinals in this episode. Starting with the midfield, Moises Caicedo.
Caicedo was solid. I'll go 6, though.
They give him a 7.
That's fair. He had a good game.
Yeah. So you're 2 for 6, I believe. Caicedo, perhaps fortunate that there was no VR after catching Anthony Gordon high on the back of his leg inside 2 minutes, still managed to put in an impressively, combative display. Why didn't I slip on that word? Despite that booking. Yeah, I agree with that too. They just gave him a yellow. The game was flowing really quickly after Chelsea's goal late by Mudrik, and I can understand that, but yeah, I agree with the 7. Okay, 2 for 6, you are Conor Gallagher.
I'd say also got a 7. I thought he performed very well.
You're getting one away a lot here. 2 for 7, Conor Gallagher got a 6.
He did as well as Caicedo. Come on. Gold.com, man.
The captain showed his intent as he planted a shot onto the woodwork inside 10 minutes, typically industrious, but couldn't haul his team over the line in normal time. Took his penalty well.
Wait, can you tell me how that's a 6? Yeah, there was only positive things there.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, we move.
Enzo.
Obviously, the injury, I feel like he didn't play enough. You have to just give him a 6.
I gave him a 5.
It's not his fault. He was sick. What? That's okay, whatever.
2 for 8. Constantly looked to get on the ball, but was forced off half an hour and due to illness.
Okay, so I guess 6 is not average, apparently. I guess 5 is average.
I guess not. I guess it is 5. And they get you get a 6 if you're a little better than average. Okay,
I'm so confused now.
Cole Palmer.
Palmer was solid. He had a few chances, but didn't really do anything extremely. Penalty, though, so I'll go 7.
2 for 8.
What?
Palmer got a 5.
What? Why?
Drifted in and out of the game as Chelsea's look to engineer an equalizer did his bit in the shootout.
How is that on five? At least give us six, man.
Nico
Okay, I guess
Jackson.
five is average
Oh,
now.
wait, I think you're
Okay.
2 for 9, not 2 for. Yeah, because Nico Jackson.
Oh, Jesus, that's even worse. Okay, Nico Jackson, I'll also give a five to.
There you go. He caught on now. Nico Jackson gets a 5. You're 3 for 10. Burst into life in the second half, but couldn't take his clearest opportunity. Replaced by Christopher Nkunku and Raheem Sterling.
I'll also go five.
A 6 for Sterling.
Oh, why does okay, Sterling gets a six though. Why?
3 for
Please tell me.
11. You went in today's game with some shocking results by goal.com here. They said for Sterling, Chelsea's brightest attacker for the most part. Really should have leveled, but saw a goal-bound effort well blocked. Frustrating night.
Why is Okay, no. Anyway.
All right, rapid fire for the subs real quick. Broja.
6.
5. Gusto.
Gusto was good. 7.
Okay. 6.
What?
Okay, Broja. On early for Fernandez, saw a good finish, chalked off for offsides, but was a little cumbersome overall. And then Gusto, on at the break to cover at left back, certainly provided some attacking thrust and contributed to the leveler with a testing cross. Christopher Nkunku.
6.
5.
Oh,
Finally, a debut for the Frenchman. Wasn't really able to get involved, though. Crashed home his penalty.
Okay, 5 is now average for this one, which fucked up all my ratings. I genuinely think if you subtracted a 1 from all my ratings, I would have gotten like 8 for 11.
Mudrik.
I was scared. 7.
8. Stepped up when it mattered most.
Yeah.
Capitalized on Trippier's mistake and just about did enough with his finish. Coolly scored hit. Coolly scored hit spot kick 2. Interesting wording. Okay. Ian Madsen. Ian Madsen.
5.
6.
Why does Madsen get a 6? What did he do?
He made a difference as an attacking left wing back.
You did not play. Okay. No, I'm just move on.
I wish I was making up these ratings because this is so fun. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, the manager, Pochettino, on the day, an EFL Cup semifinal coming up for him. What did he get out of 10, Peter?
I'm so scared. I'll go. I mean, Mudrik scored, so good sub that they'll take into it. It's not really his fault his players decided to forget how to play soccer, so I'll go 7.
There we go. That's all that matters. You got 7 for the manager. And you were correct.
That basically means I got 11 out of 11, honestly, I think.
They said for Pochettino, Chelsea were the better team, especially in the second half. So the manager deserves credit. Many would have expected his side to fold, given their fragile confidence this season. But they showed real metal. Have you ever heard of that word?
What?
Metal? Real metal? Mettle?
Yeah, it's like toughness and
Okay. I suck. Whatever. To
well,
pull off an
something like,
unlikely comeback. I've never seen metal used to describe. I mean, I understand that. Okay. Sick. Big fan. All right. Real quick stats on the game. Shots for Chelsea, 15 to 4 shots on target, 4 to 2 Chelsea led that. 78% of possession to Chelsea. 78%. Wow. Almost 600 more shots, if not more, for Chelsea than Newcastle had. Fouls 11 to 9. Newcastle led that. Yellow card. Chelsea led that 4 to 2. Chelsea had 6 offsides in this match compared to Newcastle 0 and 7 to 1 in corners. Chelsea led that as well. Like I said, an odd, interesting, unlikely victory for the Blues. We will take it and we will roll with it into some action in the Premier League. Chelsea versus Wolves for us at a bright and early 8 a.m. on Christmas Eve. While for everyone in the UK, I believe that match will start at 1 p.m. for you. Chelsea sit 10th in the Premier League table with 22 points. Wolves sit in 13th with 19 points. So an even match there. We'll have to see who comes on top. And hopefully we have an episode for you by Monday, whether it's with me, Peter, and Alex. All of us at three different parts of the U.S. We'll have to wait and see. But for now, we thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Talking Blues Podcast. Please support us by hitting that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Drop 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'm on Twitter at JoshTello29. And Talking Blues is on Twitter and TikTok at Talking Blues Pod. Go Blues. We'll see you next time.